All right.
This meeting is being recorded.
Welcome to the March 8th, 2023 WPFW Local Station Board meeting. Ellen, can you please call the roll?
Okay. Irene or Anita? Irene? Is she here?
Do not see her yet.
Okay. Yao?
Nope.
Yao? Thomas?
Here.
Sarah?
Present.
Wayne?
Somebody's making a lot of noise.
Wayne? Somebody.
Somebody please mute.
Wayne?
I don't see Wayne.
Bill Curtis?
I'm here. Here.
Violetta?
Here.
Vanessa?
Here.
Sue?
Do not see Sue.
Oh, that's right. She said she'll be here by 7 p.m. because she has a class.
That's right.
Donna Grimes?
Nope.
Kamal?
He's running late.
Okay. Julie?
I'm here.
Arthur Hyland?
I am here.
Minerva? Minerva?
Nope, don't see her.
Dennis?
Yes.
Adele
is here.
Okay, she said something earlier.
Yes,
Patrick Morrison?
Here.
Patrick? Okay. All right. And do you want me to call the names of the individuals that are interested in becoming members of the board?
No, I'm going to do that shortly.
Okay.
It's going to be our first order of business after we do the minutes and the agenda.
Okay.
We'll see. I see several of them here.
Just one other thing?
Yes. Yes.
One other thing, the resignation. We have Frank Stearns, but then Max Merrick, he also resigned?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. We will proceed with the approval of the agenda for this evening. Are there any objections? All right. Hearing none, the agenda is approved. And next, the minutes for the February meeting, which we now know took place in 2023. Any objections to approving those minutes? All right, I hear none, so those minutes are approved. Ellen, for the record, Kamau Harris is now in the room.
Thank you.
All right, so our first order of business is sort of figuring out who we are, and Wayne Bruce just entered as well. Figuring out who we are. You just heard about the resignation of Max Merrick, which brings us back down to 17 board members. So at the moment we have 3 staff vacancies, all from the 2019 election. We have 4 listener member delegate vacancies. 2 from the 2019 election and 2 from the 2021 election. We have here this evening several candidates to fill those positions. First, we have Verna Avery Brown, who is a candidate for one of the vacant staff positions. We have circulated her statement. Vernon, just let me ask you if you have any brief comments to add to that.
Not really. First of all, let me just say, hello to everyone. And this is pretty exciting, an opportunity to finally serve on the LSB. I have been with this network for over 35 years. So that's three decades of my life. And I have served in a number of different capacities, starting out as a reporter, Capitol Hill reporter for Pacifica Network News. I was also the anchor for the Pacifica Network News, and I was then the deputy executive director and Washington bureau chief. Now I'm a host of WPFW's What's at Stake, and I do several national programs. So, but I've never served on the LSB in all that time. And so I think now is my turn. It's to be honest, it has actually scared me away in the past. I don't like confrontations. I appreciate good debate, but I don't like confrontations. So that's one of the reasons I had never really opted to serve. But I think this is finally my opportunity to do so. And I do so eagerly, because this network, this station is just so important to our community, that I want to have a chance to serve on the level where I can assist in governing, protecting, and expanding our reach in the community, because this is indeed a treasure, a national treasure. And I'm excited to be here. And I thank you all for having me.
Thank you, Verna, and I assure you, we are a bunch of sweethearts.
From names
you to will find no confrontation here. Do I hear any objections to the seating of Verna Avery Brown for one of the vacant staff delegate seats?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Not hearing any objections, I would like to forward a motion that we accept Verna Avery Brown as a member of the LSB.
Second it.
Any objections? All right. Thank you. Welcome, Verna.
Thank you all. Thank you. Thank
next up, a familiar voice to many of you, Mr. Ron Pinchback. Again, we've circulated a statement from Ron. I ask if you have anything, any final words.
Final words. The LSB is extremely important to the functioning of the station. There are governance issues, that it has to adjudicate. Policy issues, employment issues. I have had a wealth of experience in dealing with these things. I know how taxing it can be. And those late night meetings. And quite frankly, I just think that the time right now that the station is going through some things that need to be discussed, need to be addressed. Calm heads, cool minds, rational thinking. That's always important to the decision-making process. So I just want to contribute what skills I have, what skills I've demonstrated to the to the board. There are a lot of things going on out there, network wise, internally. And once again, I just have faith in the LSB. The LSB is always, that was one of my first opportunities to serve. And this was way back when we were down on H Street. And staff representation is very, very important. And I just want to make sure that the staff are represented adequately at the table.
Okay.
And so that's why I'm, you know, trying to make this appeal to come back to the LSB so I can serve in that capacity, so that staff can have some representation at this table. That's it. Thank you, guys.
For the sake of equity, I'm going to ask each of the new people not to participate in the vote in this until you're all together. So there's no advantage. So are there any objections to Mr. Pinchback's candidacy?
I move that Ron be accepted to the LSB.
Second.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, you are accepted.
Yes.
You couldn't get enough, huh? Okay.
We'll talk off air.
Okay, Mr. Masochist. Thank you. Welcome back. Next up, and I believe this will be for a listener delegate slot, is Mr. Eric Ramey. Eric, welcome. We also got a statement from you, and I also ask you if you have anything to add.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll just say it's been an honor and a privilege to be associated with WPFW. I first began my service there in 1983 in the news department. I served on the Mass Committee several years ago, and I think those were probably some of my greatest moments there. I think the station has enjoyed some of the greatest stability that it's had in its history. As we went through, as you might know, a very, very turbulent time. But through the Mass Committee, I asserted myself and my beliefs, and the station, I'm pleased to say, has benefited immensely from it. We have one of the greatest general managers we've had in the history of the station. We also have a very dedicated program director. Our news department is very strong. That's where I started out. I have nearly 2,000 hours of volunteer time. Those are some of my favorite moments, connecting directly with the listenership. I'll pretty much leave it at that. I've served as vice chair of the Pacifica Programming Committee. I termed out a couple of years ago, but that was also a shining moment. And I was the WPFW coordinator for foreign language programming a couple of years ago. We brought two programs on the air. I mentioned that in my statement. Volante is very successful. But I'll leave it at that. So I'm back. I heard an appeal from Donna about a week ago that there were vacancies there, and I wanted to make sure the station was able to meet its obligations, because we didn't want to give certain parties any kind of unnecessary ammunition to take shots at us. So that's another primary reason that I'm here. But thank you for hearing me. Thank you for accepting my candidacy.
Thank you. And sorry for the noise in my background. Thank you for your interest, Eric. Are there any?
Julie's hand is up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Julie. But she's muted. Mute.
Yeah. Sorry. I just wanted to confirm that Eric, who I know has, you know, kind of been staff at the station before, that this is really a listener delegate seat, not a staff delegate seat. I just want to be clear about that. That's all. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm assuming that it's a listener, that you don't have an official staff role at this point, Eric?
I'm pretty sure I do not. The bylaws, as I'm understanding, precludes anyone from being a staff member if they have, I'm sorry, a listener member if they have less than 2 hours on the air. Okay. That's my understanding. So,
okay.
Thanks. I just appreciate that.
Okay. And Ellen, just so you know, Irene is in the room. Her hand is raised. I'm about to recognize her. And Minerva is also here. Irene, go ahead.
Thank you, Dennis. Are we listening to all of the candidates that we received statements from?
Yes, there's one more after this.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Any other questions or objections to Eric? All right. Hearing no objections, then we will proceed to accept Mr. Ramey as a board member. Ellen, Donna Grimes is also now in the room. And finally, Karen Briggs, our final contestant for this evening.
First of all, I'd like to say good evening to all of the members and thank you for this opportunity to be before you. Unlike some of the others, I would bring a new set of eyes and a fresh perspective to the position because I haven't been as involved as many of the others have been, though I have been a fan and I value the voice that WPFW does bring to and for our community. And I would welcome the opportunity to help it move forward and grow, and especially in the area of retention, which is something that has become very important to businesses at every level, because it costs a lot more to acquire a new member, new client, new customer, than it does to retain the ones that you have. And as membership role, WPFW already has the house list. And you have people on that list who have raised their hands and said, basically, I like you, I trust you, I appreciate what you're doing enough to be regular contributors. And those people are worth their weight in gold. And I would like to help the station to make them feel as valuable as they are, because they can become not only supporters, but people like that when they are engaged and supported well, become also ambassadors. And they attract people like themselves who also come in and support the program. And I'd like the opportunity to do that. One thing I did neglect to mention in my statement, I think, is the fact that I've been involved in fundraising on a public television station and as a paid fundraiser for some of our local museums and several different children's hospitals.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Are there any objections to Ms. Briggs? All right. Hearing none, we will accept her into the fellowship of the LSB. In fact, now I thank you and welcome you, Karen and Eric and Ron and Verna.
Thank you.
You may now accept the right hand of fellowship and take your seats.
Thank you.
Thank you. Chair, may I be recognized?
Yes.
How many vacancies do we now have?
We now have 3 listener vacancies.
Okay, thank you, Chair, and welcome everyone.
I'm sorry.
Two.
Yes, 3 listener vacancies and.
Wait a minute.
Should be 2.
This is Ellen.
Yep.
Okay, we have one staff now.
Yeah, one staff and 2.
One staff and 2 listeners. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Right. Oh, and just for further clarification, Karen and Eric will be up for election in 2024. Verna and Ron are filling extended seats, and so they will be available for re-election at the next election, hopefully sometime this year.
When is that election, Dennis?
It is yet to be scheduled. That's a question we will ask when the PNB report comes up in a little while.
You said sometime this year?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, toward the end of the year. Well, I don't know when. Sometime this year. Okay, thank you all for that important work. Mr. Paris, are you still lingering? I know he said he was going to go away to do some work.
No, I'm here. I just muted for a while.
Okay.
I'm all set.
Okay. Actually, so Jerry, before you begin, I wanted to just go through a couple of specific items to make sure that we got some clarity on those. So just two or three specific things, and then you will have your time to add, to explain, and also to respond to questions. You already spoke to the pledge drive. You said we just crossed 200,000. So we're optimistic as we move toward 300,000, and you can get into some those numbers again later, because I think there are more people in the room now. Second thing, we have discussed in the last couple of meetings the issue of where the station would be located, because our lease is coming up for renewal. I know that we have requested some specific information from you about some options, which we have not received, but there was a management communication last week that seemed to suggest that a decision had been made, and I just want to get some clarity on whether or not that is the case.
Yes, we have made the decision that we do want to make the move to 1640. Well, this is an open meeting, so I won't give the complete address. We do want to make that move. However, we're waiting for a final approval from Pacifica Legal and Leadership. In terms of options, one supposed option was a clerical error. There was never an option for moving into another suite at 1990. That was just a typographical error. That wasn't an option at all.
All right, thank you for bringing that up. But the determination has been made pending approval to make that move.
Yes, that is true.
Okay, I think that is something that our relocation committee would have liked to get a heads up on, but be that as it may. The other thing is, and this is not, this is budgetary, not personnel. I know you told the board that you had been instructed by Pacifica that that we could not afford to duplicate the program director's salary when the program director was on leave, and that when the program director returned, that then the interim program director's position would go away, which it has. I see also that there is now a new interim public affairs director position. And so the question is, what adjustments have been made financially now to accommodate that position?
We will have to paper it, if you will. You know, it happened before we could put it into the budget, and we don't have an operating budget for 2023 as of yet. We had the finance committee meeting yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I made the commitment to submit operational budget for 2023 within the next 30, I'd like to have maybe 45 days, 30 to 45 days, we will have a 2023 budget, and that will be a line item in that budget. Understand, we had had a public affairs coordinator before that was terminated, and that position had never been refilled. Mm-hmm. So I'm just refilling an item that was at one time a line item in perhaps a much earlier budget.
Yeah, and it hadn't been, yeah, and it had not been accounted for on the budget in several years. That's the only reason I ask. Okay, those are my specific questions. Now you may proceed with the bulk of your report.
Okay, well, the main thing for everybody is that commitment to submit a realistic and operational budget for 2023 that can be submitted to the National Finance Committee and the PNB and hopefully be accepted. Some of the moves that I've had to make in terms of responding to what I will have to call emergencies were published in a what I'll call practical manner. For instance, when I applied for this job, I was given the job general manager. You don't post this position as general manager / engineer. So the public affairs position that we refilled is also a dual position. I'm not going to publicize it as a double position, but the person filling that position has been with the station for a number of years and has the skill sets to do dual positions.
That Jerry, I sent you an email asking what are the responsibilities of that position. I didn't get a response. What are the responsibilities of the public affairs director?
Oversight. Mr. Chair.
Excuse me.
Thank you.
Sue, please raise your hand or wait.
I don't know how.
Interruption. And by, Vanessa, I do see your hand, but Jerry has the floor right now. Go ahead, Jerry.
A legitimate question on Sue's part. And again, this was done as an emergency response to get work done. And I will have to say at this point, that assignment immediately started producing needed results. We got product from the public affairs director. We've got material that we were able to use in the current ongoing pledge drive from that person. So this was an instantaneous, near instantaneous go to work type position. In other words, plug and play. There has been an argument made, and I understand there's still a bit of an uproar in that what we were approved to hire and what we really needed to hire was a development director. Development directors are very hard to come by. They tend to be expensive. If I found a development director today, it would probably take that person 6 months before we could expect any real results from that person. We needed immediate action, which is why I took the step that I did. So
excuse me.
That is one of the most important things that I could report at this meeting right now. I'm sorry.
Okay, no, and I just wanted to, and thank you for that explanation. The question that I, the question that I heard interrupted was simply a description of the responsibilities, not what has, not the the rationale or what has been accomplished. And let me just add to that, also for the record, that I asked for a staff list. And in fact, recently, since the last meeting, I asked with these changes, I again asked for an updated staff list with simply names and titles, so we know who's working at the station. I asked that for the first time
months ago,
last spring.
Yes, months and, ago.
Yes, and so I'm still waiting for that.
It's basically easily done. My not getting you that list kind of demonstrates how thick things have been down here, because I should be able to generate a list for you in a matter of minutes, because we don't have a very large staff to begin with. Yes. But to Sue's question, Sue, well, it's for everybody. I don't care how much money we may make on any particular pledge drive or how we're doing budgetarily and financially, we have to have an FCC license. Now, what has been happening historically at the station is when we, well, part of the reason for the termination of the previous public affairs coordinator was because that person refused to do our quarterly issue reports. They're as important as pledge drives. Every quarter, we have to submit a report to the FCC to maintain our license. And then it became an issue of who can we get to do this, because the previous public affairs direct coordinator would not do it. And then we tried to put it on the program director, who was already overloaded, and that did not work either. And then I used a contractor, a paid contractor, to do that work for us. And it was unacceptable. I had to have somebody in the building that knows that procedure and that can do quarterly issues report. And our current public affairs director is intimately aware of the issues that we discuss in our public affairs programming and is qualified to generate that report that is due at the end of this month. So all of this was urgent, very, very urgent, so that we can stay operational. The optics of it may be a little bad in terms of it seems to be obtrusive. I don't think there's going to be any hostile activity on the part of the new folks that have come on board. I think it should be a fairly smooth transition, and I'll do everything that I can to streamline the adjustments that may have to be made. So understand, I want to say we had just yesterday, we did a remote broadcast, Roach Brown's show, Crossroads. We did it from Ben's Chili Bowl. We have not been doing remote broadcasts since COVID, really. We're just getting back to that routine again. And we did a very successful broadcast from Ben's yesterday. We had quite the crowd. It was very, very good PR for the station. It was on mission because good resources were given out to the audience that we had in the room. And it was a successful broadcast. Okay, that's a plus. On the minus side, we had a train wreck on Sunday morning where we were trying to do the Sunday morning broadcast with the programmer who was at home sick. I was in the control room doing my best to integrate the program. There were failures remotely. There were failures in the control room. It was a very, 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 very bad broadcast. Still made a little bit of money and wasn't that badly received from the listeners, but from a technical point of view, it was a train wreck. So we've had pluses, we've had minuses, but there are things that are happening along with these pluses and minuses that are overall pluses. We have a new trainee at the station that is working already. We hope to, and this is a discussion that I've had with the new public affairs director and had in the past, in doing a workforce development effort at the station, you know, where we train people, you know, and there are, this fits in league with trying to do off-air fundraising. There are grants, there are stimulus packages available here in the district for workforce development. I met some resistance from prior personnel in trying to bring on board workforce development at the station because it's a lot of work. But the current program, the current public affairs director has offered that type of program to the station before and wants to do so again. It fits with what we're doing right now with our new trainee. His name is Deontay, he's 24 years old. We have him doing on-the-job training right now because he's a quick study and he's actually doing the work and he's filling in for places where we don't have operators. He needs more training, but that will happen over time. So again, this pledge drive is doing okay, but you know, we have to raise money other than on-air fundraising. And I'm working on that with our new public affairs director that has a little bit of background in grant writing and putting forth proposals and already had a workforce development effort of her own. Where we are financially, we had a finance committee meeting and I think Kamau is on this meeting. I don't know if I should leave it up to him to give a detailed report on the finances, but in general, we're doing okay. The important liabilities have been addressed in terms of our rents. We've actually paid some rents and they've not actually cashed the checks yet. We're okay in terms of payroll. I think we're up to date in terms of healthcare. I have to pull the documentation I have down here with me someplace. Before the meeting, I reported that, you know, the pledge drive is doing, I need to pitch soon. The pledge drive is doing okay. We cracked 200,000. We are at 67.6% of the way to the goal. Technically, we should be maybe at 69%. But pledge drives aren't linear. So sometimes there's a sag in the middle, and then sometimes there's an uptick towards the end. And we all know weekends perform much greater than the weekdays do. So we are looking forward to the weekend. Personal developments in terms of fundraising, and I will take credit for this. A major donor gave $1,000 to the station today. He's a personal friend and a supporter of the station. Today. On the negative side, sadly, another major donor passed away last week of a heart attack, sudden heart attack, and he's gone. He was a personal friend of mine for some 20 years. And on a sad note, we have lost that friend and supporter of the station. He would pledge every single pledge drive for all the years that I've been at the station. And that's a loss to the station. So we've had ups and downs, but things are running well with the new personnel that's on board. Again, Esther has integrated in almost seamlessly and immediately to the ongoing operations, which is going on right now. And I have to leave in 3 minutes because I'm supposed to be pitching on Kamrit Lakai.
Okay, I do have a question for Vanessa. Will you be able to come back? Because there may be some questions in the finance report that that you might have to answer.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, Vanessa, thank you for your patience.
Okay, I have a couple of questions. We did not anticipate that you would be leaving immediately after your report. So I'm sure other people have questions as well. One is in terms, I'm just gonna ask all the questions. One is in terms of the relocation committee. The LSB asked you, as Dennis said before, to bring a report back with the recommendation and justification. So it seems that a decision was made, it appears, without telling the relocation committee, without telling even the chair of the LSB. And so I'm wondering why you opted to act in that way when the LSB was very clear in terms of wanting documentation The second question has to do with the budget. You said there's no budget. Why is there no budget? And given that there's no budget, how do you justify hiring additional positions without a budget? The third question has to do with this public affairs coordinator that you said there used to be that position. It's been, I believe, 10 years since there was a public affairs coordinator, and that person reported to the program director, in fact, the current program director. So the new person reports directly to you. The new public affairs coordinator is changing the grid. So there appears to be serious overlap in duties between the public affairs coordinator that you hired 2 days after the PD came back. Why are you hiring a duplicative position? Where's the money in the budget for that position? How much is that position being paid? There's a development position. How much is that position being paid? There's no budget. There's all this hiring. What we really need is somebody in the news department, which is down by more than half. I mean, that's a lot of questions, but you're leaving in 3 minutes. So you know,
I will return. Sure, I have all your questions, and I will return. I have been working this pledge drive for the past 20 days. There is no such thing as a weekend for me.
Okay. Let us know when you're back, and we will find time for answering these questions.
Okay, I'll be right back. I have to call the station literally and get up, go on the air. And because Kamit Lakai, well, it's just, no, it's 7:20. I'll be back.
All right. Any other, well, there's no point in asking questions. So I'm going to move on with the agenda. We'll come back to those issues there. We don't have a written program director report. I was advised a couple of hours ago that the program director, who is back on duty full time, but is ill today and is out for the rest of the week and will not be here this evening. So we can move to the Finance Committee report. If Kamau, you can do that before the general manager returns.
Thanks, Dennis. Any questions with regards to details concerning the finances, the general manager can answer. What I will report on is some of the activities that myself as chair and treasurer conducted last week, and also some of the readout from Monday evening's Finance Committee meeting. Going back to the 1st of March, I was able to visit the station and sit with our business manager and go through some of what she does in order to produce financial statements for the station. I got limited feedback there, but I will say that there is still, I think, some confusion in and around who is responsible for coding the transactions that take place here at the station. I've got to nail down between our business manager and the national office business manager who is going to take responsibility for coding the activities for the station. With that said, there is a sharing of data between the two. At some point, we do have financial statements produced, but it's still murky as to how we actually get or who is responsible for doing that. In addition, I was able to briefly speak with Otis. Forgive me, I don't know Otis's last name. But Otis and I briefly spoke, and he was able to provide me access to some of the reporting that he had developed for some time. I've yet to peruse and go through all of it, but it appears to me that Otis has a cache of reports that give some real-time information with regards to at least credit card, debit card transactions from our listeners and donors. He's not able to, obviously, in this report necessarily track some of the checks that come in, nor have I seen any activity tracking the Cash App. I bring this up because a lot of what we're doing in and around trying to secure fundraising really requires us to understand how and when our cash and donations come in. This was also part of the push during the summer last year from the committee to have detailed reports. And so I'm just trying to trace down whatever breadcrumbs are available to finally get to a report that is usable for the committee, understanding confidentiality, but at least having a having the confidence when we have meetings to have the reports and have accurate information. From that report, we then went into our meeting on Monday. Our meeting on Monday, we did receive from the local business manager some of the activities for the month of February.
He's not a business manager. Okay, sorry. I thought I was muted. Nope, I thought I was muted. Sorry about that. I'm back in the meeting. My on-air duties were preempted.
Please tell me the title. I'll gladly update my records. What is the title of Carson?
Administrative assistant.
Administrative assistant. Got it. Will do. Thank you.
Okay. And I'm sorry, I kind of left abruptly and I'm returning abruptly. Sorry about that. Just guide me back in.
All right. Well, Kamau has the floor, and he will refer to you as needed during his report.
Okay.
On Monday night, the Finance Committee met 7 p.m. via Zoom. We received from management three documents, a list of transactions for the month of February that was shared with the committee. We also received a list of outstanding accounts payable by vendor from management. And we did receive via email after the meeting, so I wasn't able to share at the meeting this information, but we did receive afterwards the actual bank balance currently. So as of 3/6, this is Monday, the cash position of the station is $97,270.20. That's $97,270.20. In addition, there is another $7,160.20, of which is a bank account that just became known to me. I don't know if others in the committee knew, but there's an additional bank account that we are also using to collect the Cash App activity that comes in from our donors. The outstanding accounts payable as of February 28th, we had $11,320 due to a service on the HVAC system back in July of 2022. Whatever work that was done there is still outstanding, that payment of $11,320. Our Pacifica Radio Archives has an outstanding balance of $6,123. That is for the month of December, January, and February. We have an outstanding tower payment, $12,692.16. That's for the months of January and February. The central services, Outstanding balance is $75,840. For the months of September, October, November, December, January, and February. We have an outstanding balance for our Nielsen data, which is a suspended service, of $6,960. There's a BMI Music amount due of $6,726 for the month of January. And lastly, there's a contractor for social media. Outstanding balance is $2,000 for the months of November and December. Total outstanding payable right now, as of 2/28, is $121,661.16. The highlights for payments that went out during the month of February. Total, these are all going to be approximate, just so we understand, they're not to the penny, but the payroll plus healthcare totaled about $58,000 in the month of February. There was a central service payment made of $2,667 and a radio archives payment of $2,041. We had consultants for administration, programming, and engineering, totaling roughly $14,000 in the month of February. We did have rent expense of $34,442, which looks to be 2 months of rent paid. I'll let Jerry elaborate on that.
Yeah, that's 2 months.
That's 2 months. Got it.
Yes, sir.
All righty. And then there was a utilities tower payment of $5,000 made in the month of February.
That's Pepco.
That's Pepco. Got it.
Yes.
And then the NFCB dues were paid in the amount of $3,875. In total, $129,324.60 was paid out of the Truist bank account in February. And the amount received was $122,867 in the month of February. I know it's a mouthful, it's quite a bit. I'll pause there if there's any questions. And then that pretty much concludes the report. There are some minutes that the committee's trying to get together based on Monday's discussion, several of which was around the budget. I think Jerry's already touched on that we had an agreement to produce the budget within the next 30 days. And that the National Finance Committee is anxious to review the station's budgets, of which we need to present to them. So I'll pause there.
Okay. I see Verna, Vanessa, and Ron. After Verna, actually, I'm going to step in with a quick question. Go ahead, Verna.
Yes, I'm curious about this $14,000 in consultant fees. Did you say it come out?
Yeah, it's approximation. Yes, that's correct.
Who were those fees paid out to? What consultants are we paying for to the tune of $14,000?
That would Jerry has. Yep, go ahead, Jerry.
Okay, that would be. Hold on, that would be one, our chief engineer.
So Mo.
Yeah, that's Mo. Annette is a contractor also. There are some items that ended up in, I believe, consultants that don't belong there. Kamau, what was it that ended up in that 14 that doesn't belong there? Was it Telerep, which is a vendor, not a consultant?
Are you asking me, Jerry? I don't know.
I am asking you because I just pulled a sheet up that's been highly
marked over, and I'm trying to see if I can answer her question to any detail. I gave her the gist of it.
Well, this is one of the things, Jerry, I'll be honest, that I've been attempting to drill down on, both in the interim treasurer position and now as a full-time treasurer, but been getting pushback in and around the term confidentiality. The consultants, as identified by the National Finance Committee, are not confidential. All staff-related information is confidential. There is no way, shape, or form that the consultants are confidential to this board. So you can easily just give us a readout of who's on as a consultant and in no way, shape, or form breach any confidentiality. So feel comfortable in that.
Okay, consultants engineering are Mo, of course.
And how much is that? How much is Mo being paid?
It's complicated. we pay Mo, WPFW's portion of what Mo is paid is $2,000 a month. That's it. So PFW is paying Mo $24,000 a year. He's doing services for Pacifica above and beyond it, which is subtracted from Central Services ultimately. So Pacifica is paying the rest of it operationally, but there's another item on this line, which I want to get to, which is Deontay, which is a new operator that is being paid. He's a board operator, very much like Mike Nasella.
Okay, and how much is Annette being paid?
Annette is being paid also, well, actually less than Mo. It's just under $2,000 a month. We have incurred some, as a contractor, we have incurred a good amount of overtime charges from Annette, but she has donated much of her overtime to the station, and she's not charging us anything near the work that she's done.
Okay, so but for the month of February that's being reflected here, she's been paid $2,000 or more.
That is, hold on. No. February reflects, again, details. Let me get to the details of this. Let's see, I'm seeing $4,914 for this report. That's going to be.
So she wasn't paid $2,000. She was paid $4,914.
That's at least 2 months and change.
Okay. So then, but we still have a $14,000 line item here for consultants, and that's nowhere near $14,000 if you take the $2,000 for Mo and $4,914 for Annette. Where are those other dollars going?
Okay. Well, it's not on my sheet right here. And that is why I asked the question. I think there were some things that got added into consultants that were actually other types of vendors, which included Telerep that we use for the pledge drive, which is 9,000. Kamau, I don't know if you can verify that or not.
I would love to, Jerry, and I've again stated this many times. Just if Annette would kindly send over the way in which she codes the transactions during the month, I can verify. I'm more than willing to help everybody out in this situation. But again, I've been met with, the theme of confidentiality, and I just don't understand why we can't come to an agreement that I will sit here and report out to the body what the transactions and the financial position is of the station. I have no problem doing that, but otherwise, I have to let you and Annette do that.
I'm giving you the information now, perhaps for the first time, on the basis of what you have told me in this conversation, you know, that information across Pacifica is open and doesn't have any confidentiality. So I'm giving that information freely right now on the trust that what you're telling me is the truth. And then if that is the case, that is how we will proceed from now on.
Okay, Hold on a second, though, Jack. Mm-hmm. We have the chair of the PMB here. Now, if I was wrong, I think she would very quickly step up and rebuff me, no?
Julie, please. That would be Julie?
Yeah. Folks, I'm sorry. I'm multitasking, so I really apologize. Tell me what it is that I was...
Okay, well, that's all right. I just don't want to lose track of the thread that this is still Verna's question.
Yeah, because there's still a $7,000 hole here that's not been accounted for. And the other question is, how are these two positions being paid? You have Esther now on the payroll. How is she being paid? And if Sataria has been promoted to development director, how is she being paid? Would that not be in this budget? I don't know, just a little clarity, please.
No, it would not. Well, I mean, not for this month. Neither have started yet in terms of payroll.
So they have been working, Esther has been working for how many weeks now, and you're saying she's not been paid?
Esther had been working as a contractor under the IPD position, but now her payroll cycle, I don't think her payroll has cycled as public affairs director has begun yet.
So is that part of the 14,000? Is that part of the contract number that's in the February? Is the IPD salary? If the IPD is working as a contractor?
It's not shown on any of my paperwork, and I think Annette would have put it there for me. Hold on a second. I'm not seeing it.
All right. So let me jump in real quick. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So Jerry, I do believe we had this discussion on Monday night. You don't recall what we were discussing Monday night, which was that you had the interim program director at $4,350. Okay, that's the line item there under programming, which also included something you called a production assistant. We're just trying to get clarity on what you're paying those particular people.
And you and I are working off of two different documents because I'm not seeing the 4,000. Would you say it was the 4,350 figure for the IPD?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not seeing it on my document, so hold on a second. Why am I not seeing that?
Okay, regardless of me not seeing it, the question was, where is the line item? Well, since the IPD line item is no more,
let me help you out, Jerry. So the simple question is, I think people just want to know, they want to understand how much you're paying for your interim program director. Do you know how much that is?
We're no longer paying for an interim program director.
February. This is February activity. You had to have been paying because you had an interim in February. There's no question about that.
Okay. No, I thought we had moved on to the public affairs position. You're talking about the IPD position.
We're talking about the February statement.
February statement. Okay.
Expenses.
That included the IPD. And I don't have it in front of me.
Hold on. Did you have an agreement on what you might want to pay the interim program director?
Yes.
Okay. Can we have that estimate?
Well, it was made on the basis of what the program director was being paid. So it was roughly what the PD, the staff PD was making. And typically interims come in a little higher because they have no benefits, nothing taken out. So, but I would have to say that the figure that you gave me looked like 2 months of pay. Okay. But again, I don't have it in front of me and I don't want to just go by memory. I got too much going on.
Mm-hmm. Verna, you still?
Well, I did have one other question based on, and I'll yield after this, what you said that was in the in the bank and what was paid out in that past month. Do you see where there is going to be adequate finances to add on an additional 1.5? And we haven't even discussed Sataria's. She's been promoted to development director. And I would assume that that promotion includes a pay increase. And so there's more money that's gonna have to be paid out there, as well as the salary for the interim public affairs director. Do you see that in the budget come out or?
So let me answer it this way, because what we're dealing with here is a cash basis. And so what is skewing this particular month is that you've got two payments for rent in the month. So that's about $16K extra in the month of February paid out. That's going to skew that. So I think you're referring to the fact that we had about 129,000 coming out and about 122,000 coming in. Exactly. So you basically want to knock down that double payment. So if you want to kind of budget on a monthly basis, that double month or double payment in a month would definitely.
So we're caught up on our rent, in other words? It wouldn't be.
Yeah, I mean, I've got an outstanding payables as of 2/28, according to the administrative assistant, that there is no rental outstanding. So really, we're in the month of March. So it sounds like to me that March is the only month that would be outstanding at this point.
Mm-hmm. Do you see any room in that budget for relocation fees?
Again, I don't have any idea what the cost to relocate would be. I am on the relocation committee. That was another question that was outstanding to the general manager and his team to kind of outline for us what that particular amount would be. There's been an estimate floated about $150,000, but again, no real details giving us an idea of how that's going to be accomplished.
Okay, thank you. I yield.
Hold on. I just have one quick question about the numbers. The February intake of, I think it was about 122,000. I'm wondering, does that include money collected from the current pledge drive?
Yes, it would have to.
Okay. So we have 97 in the account now. A good bit of that would be also from the current pledge drive.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Here's we have a few people queued up. In 12 minutes, we're going to community comment. So we're not going to get to everybody. I have in order, Vanessa, Ron, Eric, Adele, and Sue. I will keep track of that order for when we emerge from community comment. Vanessa, we've already heard from you, but you are next in line if you make it quick.
Okay, I'll make it quick. I'll just have one question. This is for Kamal, the treasurer. Yeah. It's good to hear that according to the documentation you have, that the rent is nearly current. However, during your report, you mentioned about a dozen other bills that were anywhere from some 6 to 8 months behind, some you know, like maybe 3 months behind. So was I understanding correctly? And if I wasn't, if I am understanding correctly, how do you characterize our finances? Would you characterize them as good? Okay. I don't know if that's a fair question, but just asking for confirmation.
Yeah, sure. I mean, what you have to understand is that the largest piece of that, when added together, the $75,000 and the $6,000 is essentially an intercompany kind of transaction between us and the national body, Pacifica Radio Archives, and then, of course, Central Services. It's a wash when you talk about how the executive director and the business manager, how they account for that, because we're basically managing, and this is me paraphrasing the executive director, essentially managing Pacifica as a whole, given the current condition financially overall, everyone's kind of in the same boat. So there isn't really necessarily, although Annette has shown it as an outstanding due, it's really a management style of the entire Pacifica network. So to me, that's probably what, 75, that's almost 81,000 of the 121. That's really a wash, you know, if we were to be honest. So you're looking at about 40K, of which there's this HVAC service that's outstanding, pushing 10 months here. And then, of course, these other ones that I'm not sure if we're going to pay. They've been outstanding for quite some time. The Nielsen suspension, the BMI, and this contractor. So I would characterize that overall, given the larger Pacifica situation, as decent. I wouldn't be mad at that.
Can I answer also?
Yes.
And I would say it's a moving target. A lot of this is amorphous. The HVAC contractor called me today, you know, and I believe that's something like 11,000 outstanding. And they offered a monthly payment option, but we're in dispute as to whether we actually owe them that 11,000 anyway, because a lot of their behavior with us turned out to be predatory. We called in another company that was able to make repairs for a couple of $100s, where they were where SMI was charging us thousands of dollars, and we backed out of what would have been a much larger contract, but we were already committed to this $11,000 worth of service. We weren't able to get out of it, but we may be able to do so. I actually expected the SMI to be out of business by now, because there's a class action suit against them. They were kicked out of our building entirely. We were their last customers. So, and also what's owed to our contractor, Vicky, may be forgiven, because, you know, we're gonna take a serious look at that and say, this is what was on paper, but did you perform the work? Was there any work performed? And I don't think that she's going to be predatory, if you will. Nielsen's, we found another way to get the Nielsen data, so we can live with the suspension of that subscription. We can actually get the Nielsen data from another one of our sister stations. So that's something that we don't have to worry about. So Kamala's kind of correct. You know, it sounds kind of dire, and some of them are outstanding over several months. And we go through this, unfortunately, quite often. You know, pay who we can. Anybody that we can negotiate with and maybe stretch it out, we stretch it out.
Okay. Ron, we have 7 minutes before community comment.
All right, this will be brief. In fact, I'm going to label this an observation. Jerry?
Yes, sir.
You have, there were a lot of questions that were asked about various aspects of our finances, from relocation to current staffing to projected staffing. And there were a lot of answers that were not there. The That's why it's important to have ongoing consultation with this body, with this LSB. You know, we can understand a class action lawsuit. We can understand some of these things, but if we don't, if the LSB doesn't have that information, if you're not discussing that information with the LSB or the appropriate committee of the LSB, then we run into situations like we're having right now. So that's one, like I said, I just want to make that observation. You know, you cannot proceed to operate without consulting the appropriate, you know, this appropriate body. It's creating issues,